Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Putman Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
And I'm Tony Stark.
All right.
You're so boring, Joe.
We have a routine. We've done the same intro every episode up until now, and all of a sudden you guys are different people.
You want to do it again?
No, we'll stick with it.
Brandon's boring.
Yeah, fair enough.
Joe's boring.
Yeah. I'll come up with a new one for next episode, I think. Maybe. We'll see. Gentlemen, we've got some stuff to talk about today. We're gonna get right into it. We're big movie lovers on this podcast. Would you agree?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe. A little bit.
You guys more than me, and I love movies. Yeah. So there you go.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. Now, one thing we love in particular is, of course, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we've got some more Marvel movies to discuss today. So let's get right into it. Paul, tell us, what are we going to discuss first?
Where do we leave off of, actually?
Yeah, where did we leave off?
So we started talking about Marvel Phase 3, the first half of it, up until about Black Panther was our last one. And that was back in... earlier this year that we were recording that. So to keep going on from there, we go into the next Avengers film, which was the third film in the Avengers series, and we're going to talk about Infinity War today.
Ooh, Infinity War. Okay, so before we get into any specific discussion, refresh our memories. What was it about?
So you have the main character played by Josh Brolin, main villain, I should say, Thanos, is collecting throughout the movies, like we saw throughout the movies, that they were collecting. There was Infinity Stones. There was different types. There was the Time Stone, Space Stone, Reality Stone. The Mind Stone.
Yeah. There's one last one, but it was one for each knuckle, basically, on the
Soul
on the
Stone,
glove.
And then there's five on the knuckles and then one on the backs. Yes, there's six
soul,
of them in total.
Time, power, reality, mind, and space.
Yeah. We don't actually see the Soul Stone until this movie, actually.
Okay.
So he's collecting all of the Infinity Stones because the ultimate power of that is able to affect something major in the universe. And so the movie literally starts off with Thanos... aboard Thor's ship from Ragnarok and doing some stuff there. I don't want to be a spoiler guy. I'm really bad at that, so I don't want to do that. But the idea is that he's trying to collect all the Infinity Stones to do this major thing that he wants to do in the universe and then coming to Earth and, looking to, I guess, fight the heroes of Earth.
We got a real idea of what kind of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is capable of with this movie, considering the ensemble cast. This was probably the first time we saw everybody together, really, when you consider all the different kind of movies that have come together with the Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange. And then you've also got like Iron Man and Spider-Man and all these guys who are together and how they played in, integral parts to making this movie what it was. And then, that crazy thing that happens in the movie and you're just kind of blown away by it, in the end. But it's one of those movies that has a big buildup, right?
Do you guys think that this movie is kind of like a step up from the rest, like in kind of a big way?
Huge.
Like it's just not only what happens, but it's kind of like, as you say, the combination of the ensemble, the way the movie's filmed, like the Avengers. I mean, we've seen a couple of big ones since even, which we'll maybe touch on one or two as we go here. But this one was kind of like everything's been great. And then it's like all of a sudden Infinity War. Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, what is this, right?
Yeah, like it was like it had to be epic for what it was.
Well, and it was.
Yeah.
For the epic type of movie it was. Like I won't go into it. Typically, most endings to a movie have kind of almost like a satisfying ending. Infinity War was one of those ones where it left you hanging. That was important because it led into the next movie, which was Endgame.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to know, I know we don't want to give spoilers really, but we have to be able to discuss the movie, mm-hmm. right? Like, now, is this the movie where there's like kind of a big battle scene?
Yes.
In it?
Yep.
That's all I'll say about that. I'm just trying to wrap my head because I've seen so many.
When you say
movies,
this,
right?
Do you mean Infinity War?
Infinity War.
Okay.
Infinity War.
Yeah, both Endgame and this one had a battle scene. This battle scene takes place in Wakanda.
Right.
And
then that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Okay, good. I know which movie
of course, where Black Panther's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, like epic. Like, and it was, and it, I think when it was over, when this movie ended, we knew something big was coming with Endgame, right? It was one of those moments where, you know, the trailers or the credits start rolling and you're just like, I cannot wait for Endgame, because you just like all the stuff that built up to it. And plus the ending was just so bizarre and wild that you just knew something was coming, right?
Well, and we're talking about ensemble casts. Like, obviously the first two Avengers had the ensembles from the original movies that came out to that. We got to this Avengers, it was all the extra characters that they introduced, right? Like, I'll go over... I have to go over all of them because there's just so many. There's Robert Downey Jr. playing Iron Man, Josh Brolin as Thanos, Chris Evans as Captain America, Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, Tom Holland as Spider-Man, Elizabeth Olsen as the Scarlet Witch, Paul Bettany as Vision, Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, Anthony Mackie as the Falcon, Don Cheadle as War Machine, you had Chris Pratt playing Star-Lord, you had Sebastian Stan playing Bucky Barnes, Zoe Saldana playing Gamora, Karen Gillan playing Nebula, Chadwick Boseman playing Black Panther, Vin Diesel was Groot, they had Pon Clementiev as Mantis, you had Bradley Cooper playing Rocket Raccoon, you had Benedict Wong playing Wong, funny enough, and then, you had Peter Dinklage in this, I won't give his character away, Idris Elba playing Heimdall, Gwyneth Paltrow playing Tony Stark's wife, Pepper Potts.
I don't remember Peter Dinklage in this.
Yeah, I'll go over him when we get to that point.
Interesting.
Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, and you had Paul Rudd as Ant-Man.
Yeah. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Again.
As well as the kitchen sink.
Major ensemble cast.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you have to think, like, as a director, like, that's got to be really hard to control, you know, when it comes to, like, everybody all together on the same, you know, in the same scene. Like, how do you control that
Nice thing about directing for both this and Endgame, it was the, what are the name of the brothers? I can't.
Not the Wachowski brothers.
Nope, it's...
Russo
brothers, thank you. Yeah. Wow. Who had originally done the Captain America Winter Soldier.
Right. Okay.
But they were both in charge of this one and Endgame, and... You would need two directors.
They did
for
a wonderful job. Yeah,
you know, the department in these series that I think, especially this movie, that would have the hardest job, the AP and HR department.
Yeah, very true. I mean,
like, who gets paid? Obviously, probably Robert Downey Jr. would get paid the most.
Yeah,
but I mean, I wonder what the tiers looked like. There's got to be information on it somewhere. But I mean, you get say Mark Ruffalo or someone a little farther down the line, Paul Bettany, Chadwick Boseman, even realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Is Robert Downey Jr. making $30 million and Chadwick Boseman's making $8 million? Like,
we could probably look that up.
I'd be really curious to know just kind of what the spread would look like.
Maybe next time we discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe, let's have that information, because
it'd be interesting.
I would be curious to find that out.
Yeah.
I bet you they made some good money in that one.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely they did. Yeah.
Do you know what the budget was in that movie? A billion trillion dollars?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% positive of that. Probably. It probably was in the... I wouldn't be surprised. With Spider-Man 3, when it was made, like, what, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It had a $300 million budget. So a movie like this would easily eclipse that.
I have the answer.
What is it?
It has a range of $325 to $400 million.
That's not
well, is that how much they made, though?
No, that was their cost. Their estimated budget.
That doesn't seem like much to think of when you think about it, considering
one
of
the most expensive films ever made, it says.
Hmm. I find that hard to believe, to be honest. Like, I think movies like Avatar, for example, is a costly movie.
Yeah,
mostly because of the technology, but, like, you know, you're still having to pay, you know, the people to be in this movie and all that stuff too. And
it's one of the reasons that the film industry in Canada is so large, is because it's cheaper to film here.
Yeah.
In the United States, and for big Hollywood movies, a lot of their budget gets blown on travel and filming locations.
Taxes too.
Guess how much it made both Canada and worldwide?
$1 trillion.
In theaters specifically or altogether?
Altogether.
I'll take a guess.
I'll say $6 billion.
I'll say 4.5.
Definitely going a little high on it, so that's okay. about 2.75 billion.
Billion.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Considering it was around like $300 to $400 million dollars.
And you mean that's why they do it, right? That's why they do it.
Nice profit margins.
I mean, it's crazy when you think about the money that's thrown around in the film industry. But I mean, it's no different than sports industry, right? Like, you, the guys make millions and millions of dollars, and then, you know, you look at the Major League Baseball, they're making $500 million, right, for a contract that you see, what, 14 years for?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 14 years, $500 million. That's a pretty penny. That's a pretty penny. But movies are made for that. That's the that's literally the budget of a movie that you think. It's like, that. That's a crazy thing to think about. I'm making the same amount that it costs to make a movie to play baseball.
Contractual negotiations. I wonder if any of them went and said, just give me a percentage of the gross.
Yeah.
Pull a Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
pretty sure... Keanu Reeves with John Wick did that, where he got a percentage of the
I think it was, who was it now? There was an actor who was offered a role, Matt Damon, I believe it was offered a role. I can't for the life of me remember. It might have been Avatar, actually. He might have been offered the role in Avatar, like the main role. And part of his negotiation, or part of the deal that was offered to him was, we'll give you a percentage of the movie. Like, ownership percentage of the movie. And he turned it down. And then I remember he said in an interview where he was like, complete in regret. He's like, yeah. I wish I had taken that role. Well, but I think he was in the middle of filming one of the Bourne movies or something.
Right. It would have been 2009.
Yeah.
Or filming would have been earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, Tom Hanks did that in Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
As a prime example.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be one of the best paydays of his career.
Let alone the movie itself was incredible, yeah. Right? So you're cementing yourself in history as one of the best actors in the world because of it. So
one of the things I kind of like when you're looking at, because we're talking about budgets and films and how to make them and stuff right now. When you have one of those films that had a modest budget, but not as high as some other ones, yet has almost the same quality, a picture, story, and the whole works. I look at a movie like District 9. Mm. When it came out, it only had a $30 million budget. But if you compared it to, at the time when it came out, to the other films that were big blockbusters that came out, that's a low budget for a sci-fi film like that. And it made like 10 times the amount of that back. It made like $350 million after sales and everything.
Yeah, directed by Neil Blomkamp. Who, by the way, went to film school in Vancouver. He went to the Vancouver Film School, I believe. One of the two. Is it the Vancouver Film School or it wasn't the same film school that I went to, but it was either Vancouver Film School or SFU, I think. I'm pretty sure it was Vancouver Film School. Anyway, regardless, he's made quite the name for himself, coming out of that. So that's pretty incredible when you think about... I believe he's from South Africa.
Yes.
But he did go to film school in Vancouver, which is pretty cool. I mean, Kevin Smith went to film school in Vancouver. I don't know if you guys knew that. He dropped out of film school in Vancouver, but he did go.
Didn't know that.
And his movies reflect that.
Yeah. Boo.
Duck.
I'm not a big Kevin Smith.
I love
Kevin Smith. I was kind of kidding.
I love him. I think his movies are great. He's a really good writer, in my opinion. But that's just, everybody's got their opinion when it comes to who they watch and who they like. So let's continue on with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I have a specific question for you, actually, before we go too far, because I was just looking through, and Wanda Maximoff is in part of the cast. But I was curious, because I haven't seen the series. I know you have. Does she, and I can't remember throughout all the movies, does she lose her Russian accent? She does, doesn't she? Any theory as to how that happens or why that
is? It kind of like regains it back at points too, which is kind of weird. So like, I think we'll go into future movies, but one of the movies that she did later on, like her Russian accent was coming back a bit. So I'm assuming it's probably because the directors didn't care. They just wanted the acting more than they wanted the voice. But,
or is there more to it? Or is there more? More to it where it has something to do with multiverse stuff.
Yeah,
you know, with the whole Vision, WandaVision thing, maybe that plays a part in it. I don't know.
It just seems like a detail that
it does. It seems weird, especially when you notice it. Like when you're
Could you imagine watching Rounders and having John Malkovich just sound normal? Pay the man his money. Pay the man his money.
Pay the man his money. I can't do a Malkovich accent.
Before we move on, one of the parts that I thought was kind of cool about how they introduced all the other new characters to each other is that it was an ensemble where all of the members were all together. They were actually split up into different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Different locales and storylines that, again, they had never met each other, but they had to grow as a group together. So I found that really interesting about Infinity Wars. Splitting up the Avengers, splitting up the Guardians and all these guys into different kind of conglomerates. And it was cool banter and interesting to see.
I think this is my favorite Marvel movie.
I liked Endgame better personally, but that's just me. Yeah. Only because I like it when things get wrapped up.
It was a finality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it has that little denouement. But definitely a great movie. No doubt in my mind. So what's number two? What's the next movie in this phase?
The next movie that came along was the sequel to the original Ant-Man, which was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay. All right.
Same year, I think. It came out the same year.
Yes, it did. So. Yep.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff going on for Marvel in a short amount of time.
It really felt like Marvel was kind of piling it on that year. Really. Like, here's everything, just because they wanted to get that phase wrapped up.
Maybe they were predicting COVID or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's their fault.
We're not going to get into that conspiracy theory, are we?
But so let's talk a little bit about Ant-Man the Wasp. Tell us about the story.
So this one, it starts to get into the idea of like the multiverse and traveling. We're kind of like in the original Ant-Man, Scott kind of kept shrinking and going down to kind of like a microverse. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of delved into both the ability to, kind of be in that microverse as well as, the idea of looking at what the multiverse might start looking like. And the main villains in this were actually, she was kind of not super well known, but started to make a name for herself. Hannah John Kamen played Ava Starr, who's known as Ghost as the villain. Mm-hmm. She's in a later movie later on. We'll get into future podcasts, but for the MCU. But she was kind of the villain with Lawrence Fishburne as well. Not giving too much away in that regards, but it's the idea that they're basically, she's trying to find a way to stop. What makes her the villain is actually like physically hurting her. So she's trying to find a way through Hank Pym, played by Michael Douglas, to stop that pain from happening. And there's something that's happening, at least in this microverse part, that includes her as well as Paul Rudd's Scott Lang and Evangeline Lilly, who at this point has become the Wasp now. So basically can shrink like Ant-Man but has wings.
Speaking of Vancouver, Evangeline Lilly.
From Vancouver,
Vancouver, that's right.
So she's now become a superhero as well. And there's a whole story with her family that goes on with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What did you think of the movie?
I like the first one better.
Yeah.
I think that's always the case with kind of like introductory stories and sequels. You fall in love with what you think the first movie should look like, and then you paint yourself a picture. It was still a good flick. It was entertaining, but I would give the edge to the first one. I was just trying to think to myself and kind of go through a little bit. Evangeline Lilly, like, I can't think of what else I may know her from.
She was Real Lost.
Real Steel.
I never watched Lost.
Never watched Lost?
No, never Real watched Steel. I have seen that.
She was the girl in
that. I have seen that.
Lord of the Rings, but you don't like those? The Hobbit series?
I did see The Hobbit. Okay. I watched The Hobbit. I don't remember her character, but...
She played the elf, the girl elf.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. Was she, like, really pale?
Yes.
Okay. Most I think of the I, elves I can were, picture it now, yeah. Yeah. That was kind of baffling me. I heard you say Evangeline Lilly. I'm like, I know that name. Yeah. And then I remember, I know she was the character, but I'm thinking, what else have I seen her in?
Every time I think of like an actress from Vancouver, I think of Evangeline Lilly. And then I also think of Carrie Ann Moss.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From The Matrix. She's also from Vancouver. Right. Her like cousin or something was my dad's neighbor here in Nanaimo for a long time. He had a picture of her on his mantle with him, like him and her together. And he's like, hey, that's the girl from The Matrix, my dad said to his neighbor. And the guy's like, yeah, it's my cousin. So like it's my cousin. No big deal. Like, no big deal. But I think of like those type of actors from Vancouver. It's kind of cool. Like, they were in these big movies and they're, kind of local talent and stuff.
Isn't Colby Smulders from there too?
Colby Smulders, yep. Also from the MCU. Yeah. And then, Ryan Reynolds, of course, and lots of big
Deadpool,
names.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, one of the gems from the first movie, and he's still just as funny in this one, was Michael Peña's yeah. Lewis. Just he's doing his monologues and explaining something. You have to laugh every time.
Yeah. He's such a good supporting actor.
He is.
And he can bring so many different personalities. I literally just watched him in World Trade Center the other night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you think to him in like a movie like The Martian, where he's kind of just like this crack up guy, like making jokes all the time. And then in World Trade Center, he's like this rookie cop, right? And then we all know what happens with the World Trade Center, but anything I see him in, I don't think I ever have a complaint. One of those guys. Kind of overlooked as maybe somebody who's, he's not necessarily a star, but what can you say bad about him?
Totally. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Like I said, I'd say it's not as good as the first Ant-Man in my personal opinion as well. But again, it's one of those things. He's just carrying our story, and I do like, at least with Marvel, that they still try to link the movies, even at the end of the film, with some of the post-credit stuff, and they were able to link what happened in Infinity War into this one with a scene in the post-credits for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, Walton Goggins is in it, too.
Yeah, that's
love
right.
Him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
Have you seen, what is it called?
Biodome?
No, yeah, not Biodome.
Biodome?
It's based off the video game. Biodome. Do you know the one I'm talking about? It's based off the video game where they're in a they're all surviving in a bunker after a big atomic.
Oh, Fallout?
Fallout Bio. Based off the video game Fallout. He's really awesome in that show. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Give it a watch. Yeah. I think it's on
He is really good, actually.
What's it on, like Prime or something?
It is on Prime. Yeah. Amazon Prime.
Give it a check out if you haven't seen it. It's quite good. They're going to have season 2 pretty soon here, actually.
You guys might want to hold on to your hearts for this one, but I actually kind of liked his character in The Hateful Eight.
I loved his character in Hateful Eight. Yeah, are you kidding me?
I'd agree.
No, I'm just saying, I'm surprised. Oh, I shouldn't be admitting that to you.
We should be shocked that you like anything from Tarantino.
That's what I mean.
Okay. No, yeah, he's a great actor. Like, there isn't anything he's done where I've been like, he could have been better. Like, he's really good in everything he does.
Another hidden gem, again, not so much hidden gem, Randall Park in Ant-Man the Wasp is also really
good. I love Randall Park. He's funny.
He is really funny.
Yeah. And have you seen it, the whole Office thing with him?
Yes.
Yeah. he's Jim. somebody shared a meme where it was like John Krasinski characters. It was like John Krasinski, and there was like four pictures, and it included Randall Park in one of them. It was really funny. Anyway,
love it.
All right, what's number three?
So we move on to this one's been a bit of a. There's not been a lot of good vibes about this movie, unfortunately, because the other ones after two haven't been good. But Captain Marvel with Brie Larson. There was a lot of controversy with her in regards to, I guess, things that she was saying about actors in Hollywood at the time. And so this movie didn't get a lot of praise, unfortunately, because of...
It's too bad when you consider... I thought it was a decent movie.
Yeah, I didn't think it was as bad by any means. One of my favorite scenes, to be honest, and I used to work for Blockbuster Videos when she goes crashing into Blockbuster Videos, so it was interesting to see that.
Yeah.
don't ask me how I felt about this one. I actually will admit, embarrassingly, I have not seen this movie.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I thought it was quite entertaining. You know, the way she becomes Captain Marvel, the way she kind of figures out how to control her powers and whatnot. It's pretty good. I liked it. I thought it was good.
In subsequent films where she's a character involved in the movie, I've actually hated her.
Yeah.
So I've kind of been like, I'm not really, I don't think I want to see a whole movie about her.
Well, I think part of the reason why she was casted for this, and Marvel was kind of one of those ones where they saw actors that were up and coming, and so they brought them into roles.
Yeah.
And she had been nominated, and I believe won for the movie The Room.
The Room.
And, you know, did a fantastic acting job in that. It might have been called Room.
Actually, I was going to say, not to be confused with The Room with, what's his face? Mark.
Yeah. Tommy Wiseau,
yeah.
So that is the one that I was referring to when you guys were talking about The Room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Room.
Room, yes.
And she's the mother in that.
Yeah, she's the mother in that, yeah.
And I didn't even connect the dots there.
If I remember correctly, again, another Vancouver connection, the little kid in there is that kid from Vancouver who was in that movie. What's it called where the boys go to the mall and they've got...
Yeah. The Good Boys.
Is it The Good Boys?
I think so. That movie Jacob was hilarious. Tremblay is who you're talking about.
So funny, yeah. Yeah. Such a funny movie.
There's going to be girls there. You know what that means? Drama!
I love that.
That's a great movie. So that's a great movie.
Yeah. But he's a really talented actor, too, yeah. That kid. He was in that movie, too, about the boy who has Treacher Collins. It's that disease where, like, they're born with kind of a deformity on their face.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it basically delves into that world where he's kind of bullied, but people love him. Like there's a lot of kids in the school that love him, but, like, some kids bully him, and they have to kind of maneuver around that and what his life is like. Kind of reminded me of a lot of the older movies back in the day. Like, do you remember the movie Powder?
Yep.
Do you remember that movie? No, okay, so it's an older movie from, like, the 90s where this guy literally is, like, he's, like, albino, completely white, and has, like, white hair and stuff, right?
Oh, he doesn't even have hair.
Or doesn't have hair. Bald. He's bald, that's right. Yeah. And but he has, like, special powers. Like
electricity.
He controls electricity, basically. And so he controls, like, electricity and has all these special powers, and he basically, like, teaches the bullies a lesson. Kind of reminds me of Carrie a little bit in a more calmer way. But
more of a calmer way, yeah.
This movie is nothing like that in that he's bullied, but, like, he more has a way of not getting down on himself, and I think that's what it's all about. Kind of teaches kids that, you know, even though you're bullied, it doesn't change who you are. And this kid's really, like, really talented. And what was his name again? Sorry?
Jacob Tremblay.
Jacob Tremblay. Yep. From Vancouver as well. Another Vancouver actor. So, yeah, just sort of going around in a circle there when it comes to...
So we're going Vancouver down the old rabbit hole here.
So, circling back to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the cool aspects about this particular film, too, is that it wasn't set at modern... Point it was set back, I think it was, like, the early 90s, might even
be 1995. Yeah. 1995. Now, and I was surprised by that too. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat.
So you got to see a young Nick Fury, and you get to find out actually how his whole eye thing happened.
But that's in the, if I remember correctly, that's in the post credits.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
How he loses his eye, right, or what happens to his eye. Yeah.
And one of my favorite actors who kind of seems to play every role really good, including villain roles, Ben Mendelsohn played Talos.
I love Ben Mendelsohn.
He's really, really good.
He's Australian.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
He was the first movie I ever saw him. I'm gonna
rabbit holes.
Just stop. Yeah. Vertical Limit was the first movie I ever saw him in. He was one of the brothers. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, he's good.
And then obviously when you're looking at stars, that kind of helped carry the film too. Jude Law was in it. He played basically Carol Danvers, played by Brie Larson, played her mentor basically throughout the film.
Yeah.
And then you do see Annette Bening at one point in the film. I won't say how, but she is in the movie as well, which is kind of cool.
Well, one cool thing too is that the way, also going with the post-credits scene, how it ties in with what happens in the Infinity Wars. Like, what happens at the end of Infinity Wars kind of ties in with that. Because there's all this question about where is Captain Marvel, right, when it all goes down. So, kind of interesting to see. Yeah.
So, Nick Fury didn't lose his eye in a ping pong accident.
Well, you'll have to watch to find out. I'll
watch the cutscene.
I would have gone with lawn darts, but, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. It's how most of us lose our eyes, but yeah. Okay, so what's the next one after that?
So we get to the big boppy at this point. So after this one, this is considered probably one of the greatest. Honestly, it is considered one of the greatest films ever made. Mm-hmm. It's grossed some of the most money ever made. This is Avengers Endgame.
Avengers Assemble.
You finally got to hear it.
Yeah, it was cool.
They teased it through many times, actually, throughout the other films too. So it was really cool. For this particular film, it's hard not to try and give too much away, so I'm not going to. I will mention it's because it's right in the beginning of the film. There is a time travel aspect to this film. I'm not really giving spoilers because it gives it away in the trailers as well as it's right in the beginning of the film. So, but how could you not love this film in terms of how they kind of make everything kind of come to face where they're trying to fix everything. Mm-hmm. And then you have your ensemble cast all together in one place.
This is the first ever Marvel movie that made me cry.
Yeah.
I bawled my eyes out in this movie.
Yeah, I could say the same.
I will say the majority of the reason why I, even as an adult male now, I bawl my eyes out at all is because I'm a parent and can totally relate to what happens in the movie. And just like, it definitely, you know, when you see that little message at the end, you know, even thinking about it now, I get a little choked up because it's sad. It's really sad, but it's also like sweet.
Well, considering the journey that they went on too, right? Yeah. And even like when they're doing the end credits, like they're having all the main characters show up and like they're signing off on it too, right? Like mm-hmm. it was the penultimate movie of everything. Because I believe it was about 23 movies up until that point to get to Endgame that had put all of that together. Basically, you're watching a TV series in movie form.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it because I'm not sure I know what you're referring to. But I mean, I know I'll know as soon as I see it.
I can tell you with a specific message that won't give anything away, and that's Love You 3000.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Is it like 3,000 times a day? Or?
Yeah. Watch the movie. Right and over you'll see. Head. Watch the movie and you'll see.
There was a band from the 90s called Brand Van 3000.
One hit wonder. No, for sure. You watch the movie and you'll see. Like it's definitely one of the most emotional Marvel movies, period. I don't think there's anything more emotional when it comes down to how the movie plays out.
It was nice, too, because you saw surprise characters come back that you weren't expecting. Again, you saw them split up at points, but then come back together.
That's right.
You saw things that you weren't expecting in terms of what would happen to certain characters. And it was an emotional movie just because, again, you had the build-up to it, and then when they're all together in the end and basically trying to save the day. That I believe that whole scene was about 45 minutes long, if I remember correctly. Wow.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that movie's 3 hours.
I was going to say, when you think back to it, it's like it doesn't feel like it's that long, but it does make sense when you think about everything that goes down. And it has to be long when you have that many people involved, right? So, yeah, it totally makes sense. I 100% agree with you. It's probably the best, one of the best movies in the world, but also one of the best, you know, Marvel movies, period.
Well, I think we've done our top five movies. I think I can't remember if it was myself or you or Brandon that included that in our top five.
I can see you including it.
It wasn't me, yeah.
I can see you including it. I think I probably did. I'm picking like Commando. So, you know what I mean? Like,
what's kind of cool about this one is that it seems to take place almost in real time.
Yeah.
From the previous movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like a continuation.
Yeah. As opposed, not including the time travel part, but
one of the things I've loved about these movies too is the banter between certain characters and stuff like that too. Like you saw Infinity War, again, I can't give stuff away. Where
it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, where characters that never met each other are starting to obviously having to converse with each other, and their banter is quite hilarious actually. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with this one. Again, when they're split up at certain parts and they get back together, the people that they're split up with, the banter it's perfect. Like the cohesiveness, the ability to engage with what they're saying is so much fun. With this film, it's why I consider definitely myself, on top of the fact that it's considered worldly as one of the greatest films ever, I can't not say that about this film.
We might just have to change our podcast a little bit and have like a spoiler alert so we can fully discuss it.
It's really hard to hold back, man.
It is.
Especially that specific thing you don't know what I'm talking about.
I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And now do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really. Oh, I can't. Okay. I understand what you're saying, but I can't correlate it to what happens in the movie necessarily. Okay. I think I've only seen it once, and it was when it first came out. So I don't think I've seen it since.
Like in the theater or whatever.
I think the contrast for the villain too. We're looking at Thanos. The contrast of him from Infinity War to Endgame. It was cool to see how different his character was from Infinity War.
About Thanos' character specifically is the human side of him.
Yeah.
There's almost like a relatable, I see where he's coming from kind of thing that you go through when he tries to explain the disparity at which he's trying to do what he's doing. And to his eyes, it's a bigger picture thing, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you as the audience is like, you know, he's an evil guy trying to kill everybody. But really what he's trying to do is save people. And so it's like this sort of contrasting. Backwards. You feel like you want to support them, but at the same time, you know you shouldn't.
Well, I wonder if that's going to connect with future movies. One of the things with the, at least the comics with Thanos, I don't know how much they're going to tie things in. A future movie we'll talk about, I'm not really giving anything away. There's a movie called The Eternals. The Eternals were a group created by beings called the Celestials.
Yeah.
When the Celestials were creating the Eternals, they also actually had created something called the Deviants as well. And Thanos in the comics was considered a Deviant. So he's related to the Eternals.
Makes sense. With positive, you have to have negative, right? Yeah. There has to be a polar opposite of what you have, much like everything in the world.
Exactly. And they do allude to Thanos at one point in the Eternals. Again, I can't give too much away on that, but it'll be interesting to see whatever happened in this film will tie very much later on into other films, because there are ways to tie them together as well.
Right.
With what happened in this film.
So there's going to be more movies?
It's never going to end, my friend.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
But so in terms of that phase, we're looking at what, phase three?
We're in phase three right now.
So at what point are we at now with Endgame? Is that the end of phase three, or is there more?
Nope, there is one more that's considered part of this afterwards.
I see. Okay. Well, let's get into it.
So the last film of phase three was the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, which is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Right. Okay, wait. At what point, sort of pull back for a second, at what point is Far From Home from Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness?
That is a good question. You'll have to give me 2 seconds.
Because I know like the newest Spider-Man, the most recent one, with the whole multiverse thing, is that's after Doctor Strange's Multiverse of Madness, is it not? Or is it before?
No, Spider-Man No Way Home is the one you're talking about. That's the third, is before Multiverse of Madness.
And the one you're about to get into is Far From Home?
Far From Home. It's the second one.
Okay, let's continue.
It's okay. this was the sequel to Homecoming.
Okay.
And this is post-Endgame, so everything that's happened in Endgame is affecting Spider-Man in this one, in terms of, you know, kind of what's happened with the people that are in his life. He's still a student in high school, and there's been some major world events that have happened. So basically, he's going on a vacation with his classmates over to France. I can't remember where they are.
I seem to remember
it
him.
It says
going...
Europe.
Europe.
It says Europe, yeah.
All over Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember.
France is in Europe.
Well, I think they go to multiple places, right?
They do, yeah.
I remember that correctly. It's not just France and stuff like that, but yeah.
This movie has the main villain in this one was Jake Gyllenhaal playing Mysterio. Which we hadn't seen him yet in the Spider-Man films. It's cool that they've been able to the Sony universe as well as the MC universe be able to have new villains each and every time. So Jake Gyllenhaal playing something Beck. I can't remember his first name. Quentin Beck. There we go.
Right.
Playing Mysterio. Gyllenhaal was amazing.
Yeah, I thought that he was a really good choice for Mysterio, and it's funny because I watched the Spider-Man cartoon growing up.
Yep.
I remember the Mysterio character, but I don't remember him being the kind of lying, conniving like guy that he was. I just remember him being like a bad guy. You know what I mean? I was a kid watching it, so I don't really remember much about it, but I just don't remember that of intelligent.
Considering he didn't really have superpowers, he just used illusions.
Yeah, it was illusions.
Kind of thing. I kind of saw it in the cartoon. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, he was just more of that villain that was there.
I really feel like the cartoon kind of threw away characters, though, too, at the same time. Like, there was no real character development.
No, and never.
All that kind of stuff. So,
well,
like,
it's a half-hour show, too, right?
Exactly,
so
yeah.
Can't really go too deep into it. You had to rely on the comics source a little bit. Cool thing about Jake Gyllenhaal is that he was originally slated to be the original Spider-Man before they gave it to Tobey Maguire.
I did not know that.
He had auditioned for the part, and they took Toby for it.
Interesting. I wonder why.
Couldn't tell you.
Scheduling conflict.
Yeah, really. Probably. Yeah. He wasn't doing the horse racing movie anymore.
I believe Leo DiCaprio was another one that they were talking to at the time as well.
It's so funny when you think about like characters that they were considering for certain roles and stuff, and you hear like, oh, Tom Cruise was pegged to be this character, and you're just like, wait a sec, what? The fact that Tom Cruise got to be Reacher, for example, like to me is stupid. Like, that's
considering the guy who plays him now in the TV series.
Alan Ritchson, like, way better. But anyway, that's beyond the point. I'm going down another rabbit hole. But you know, this was actually quite a good movie. I really enjoyed this. And actually, the cool thing about this movie is that this is sort of the beginning of the relationship between MJ and Peter as well.
Yes.
And you start to kind of see that. And because I remember when we were introduced to MJ in the first one, I'm like, how are they going to get these two together? Like, what are they going to do? It doesn't make any sense.
And again, for the Sony lovers, this is not Mary J. Watson. This is Michelle Jones Watson.
MJ. There you go. I didn't actually know that. I always knew her as MJ.
I did not know that either.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Paul. You're a fountain of knowledge.
Yes. Nerds. All right, let's wrap up the MCU Phase 3. What else do we have to talk about here? This is this Spider-Man movie in particular was a great kind of cap to the MCU Phase 3. It definitely left a lot of questions, right? When we look at the future of Marvel, we look at the next phase and how are they going to move on with, say, the Avengers in particular, considering the way that Endgame ended. What do we have to say about it? What do we want to touch on before we move on?
About Phase 3? I think up to this point, like, there's not really a lot of negativity you could say about the MCU at this point. How they were able to build this whole universe up to this point, and since then it's been good too, but it really set the tone for ensemble movies. It really set the tone for character development. You have character development, but sometimes sequels kind of suck, unfortunately, in some franchises. There wasn't really one film inside of the first three phases up to this point that really didn't catch your interest with the MCU.
Yeah.
It was a fun ride to watch up to this point, and it's been a fun ride since. But again, we're talking to this point. I love these films. I will always share them. My son will watch them as he grows up, so I can't say enough about it.
When you compare it to like Star Wars, like in terms of movies that you watch over and over again, and you can watch 10 years down the road and it's still gives you the same feelings. Where does that kind of compare to you on that scale?
I give a slight edge probably to Star Wars, only for the history behind it.
Yeah. It took place in your childhood.
Yeah.
You grew up with it. Whereas with MCU, it's like, it didn't happen until you...
Well, I became an adult with these ones, right? Exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things. They both probably hold a special place, but I maybe give a slight edge to Star Wars.
For sure.
I'm still working on the adult part.
You're running out of time there, Brando.
Yeah, I know. That's okay.
What about you, Brando? What do you have to maybe top off with when it comes to the MCU Volume 3?
My thought about this one, and I know I'm going to have to change it, is that after Endgame and after... Actually, this Spider-Man I really enjoyed as well. After that film, I kind of stopped making it my priority to see every Marvel movie that came out.
Do you know why? Is it because Endgame was sort of a completion?
I don't think it's necessarily correlated to what happened in the films.
Okay.
More about a point in my life.
Yeah.
Okay. Like COVID was right after that.
That's
so
true.
So it's like you'd think that maybe you'd have nothing to do except watch movies. Yeah. But for me, it was more... experiencing these films in the theater was a big thing. Couldn't do that anymore for 2 or 3 years, right? Or just about 3 years, as other movies were starting to be made much slower pace, of course. But I just found that life went in a different direction and you kind of prioritize different things. It wasn't front and center for me. And I mean, you're getting really philosophical with that. That's just one thing that maybe is a possibility. I don't really have a pinpoint answer. Mm-hmm. But out of the ones since, I think what I would consider to be some of the major ones, which we'll get into in our next phase and stuff. But some of kind of the side plot movies that have come out after that, I haven't even seen them.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't want to. It's just it hasn't been a priority.
Yeah.
But up until that point, I pretty much had seen every film.
So going back to the ones you had seen, though... Where does that rank in terms of like the movies that you compare to be your favorite movies in, you know, in history? Because I know you've got a lot of different movies that you enjoy.
Yeah. Okay. If I go that direction, I would say that these ones are high on the entertainment factor for me, but they don't really move the needle as far as depth in a movie goes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, if I were to have, like, my favorite movie or a really good biographical drama or a nice law courtroom thriller or something like that that I know that I like, mm-hmm. if I had that in front of me or if I had Avengers Endgame, I'd go that route. Nothing against Endgame or Infinity War or any of them. It's just that it's not – I watch it to be entertained and have a good time, whereas I watch those other types of movies more as, like, to feed my brain.
I totally understand what you mean. I totally understand what you mean when you say that, because I think about like the type of movies I enjoy watching and the ones that I know I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna get something out of it. With the Marvel movies in particular, it almost feels like you know what you're gonna get before you even watch it, right? Whereas a movie, say, like a courtroom drama thriller or whatever, you're going to be constantly asking questions throughout mm-hmm. the whole movie, and then there comes a point where you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and that's the thrill you get out of it. So I totally understand that. I think, you know, for me, like, and I think Paul, you're the same, like, when it comes down to it, for me, my goal ultimately when I sit down and watch a movie is I want to be entertained. And if that means ultimately, and I'm sure you do too, but what I mean by that is, like, if I sit down and I watch, say, a Marvel movie in particular, I'm going to pick aspects of the movie that are entertaining that aren't just the plot or just the story.
Yeah.
I'll pick apart, like, oh, I really like how they filmed that scene, or I really like the sound design on that scene. Like, I hear things and I see things that I like, and it brings me closer to the story almost. And that's how I watch movies. Like, no matter what movie I'm watching, I'll pull something like that out.
Yeah.
Or on the opposite end of the spectrum, I'll find something that I don't like and that takes me out of the story, I'm immediately turned off. It doesn't matter what the movie is, right? Like, some people might say, oh, that was a really good movie, but that one little aspect might take me so far out of the story that I'm just like, I'm turned off.
Yeah.
And I've immediately made my mind up that this is a bad movie.
Hard to refocus.
And it's hard to get back into it, back into that story. So the cool thing with the Marvel movies up until this point specifically is that they've pulled me in with the story, and the fact that everything ties in together really makes a big kind of deal for me in terms of still keeping my attention and keeping me entertained.
Yeah,
so definitely. That's the big thing for me.
Nice.
I feel like it's something that I, you know, when it comes to watching movies in general, that's what I always look for. And it's subconscious more than anything too. I'll go into a movie thinking I know exactly what I'm going to watch, and then if it completely takes me down another avenue, sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about a movie that I'd watched called The Amateur, which was a good movie, but it went down a completely different avenue that I thought I was going to, and I actually wasn't that interested by the time it was over. I was like, oh, okay, it's not as
I was kind of counting the minutes to the end of the movie too.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So
and I saw that in theaters.
Yeah, and it just felt like, okay, well, you know, I like the idea. The plot was good, but there was just something about it that just didn't work for me, and I think that's what it comes down to.
I think for that one, it seems like I looked at it and I went, I've seen this before.
Exactly. So that's typically what it comes down to for me. And at this point in the Marvel Universe, and I say this point because there are further films that I have seen that I have maybe not been so happy about. And we'll get into that when we talk more about the next phase and whatnot in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But at this point, I'm definitely, you know, I'm still there, you know. So that's the cool thing about it. Let's get into This or That, gentlemen. This or That, of course, for those of you who don't know, This or That is a little game I like to play here on the Puck and Pod, where I basically give you a choice between one thing or the other, and you're going to choose whichever choice you decide, but you're also going to tell us why in particular. Now, this one is kind of a fun one. We're getting close to summertime, and with this specific one, I'm going to go with funny summer sports. This or That. Funny summer sports. And I've got a list of 20 here. I'm going to choose just a few just to top off the show kind of thing.
Is this to watch or to play? Or
You'll hear as I
okay,
say
we'll
it. All right,
we got it.
Slide into third base like a pro, or face plant into a kiddie pool trying to catch a frisbee.
Like a pro for me. I like funny, but I don't like embarrassing. So,
okay. Do I catch the frisbee?
That's up to you.
Oh. You know what? I'm going face first into the pool, but I catch that frisbee.
Yeah, imagine it's
that catch.
Imagine it's like a hot summer day, and that water just feels so amazing because you just, you know, you're so sweaty playing frisbee, and boom.
Go long,
you get
wham,
that refreshing
big
splash.
Big jump, dive, catch, face plant, love it.
I'm so used to like playing softball and sliding into base, so that's been a common thing.
And looking
thing
like
for me.
A pro is more important, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so let's go down here. Accidentally flash the neighbors diving into the pool, or rip your shorts trying to do the splits at softball.
Well, I'm going to go with the splits at softball because the neighbors would be grossly disappointed if I flashed them.
Yeah, I don't know. My neighbors would be disappointed in me. I'm going to go with flashing here.
You're going to go flashing. So the cool part about this whole thing is you guys are choosing two different things. I like this.
Do you split your groin or do you split your embarrassment?
You rip your shorts trying to do the splits. So it doesn't even say you're successful at doing the splits.
Okay.
It just says you're trying to do the splits. All right. So sunburned shaped like a backwards hat, or tan lined shaped like a lawn chair. So tan line meaning you got a little tan going, but it's shaped like a lawn chair,
like the,
or you got a sunburn shaped like a backwards hat.
So is it like the stripes with the lawn chair?
I guess if you got those like holes in the lawn chair, but if that's the case, you're pretty much laying down with a lawn chair on your back, basically.
Got to protect against the sun.
Let's imagine that that's possible for a second, and. So, yeah, backwards hat sunburn, meaning you got like a line down your back, all red. What do you think?
Depends where the backwards hat is on the body. So if it's on my back, I can cover that up. So
yeah, I assume it's on your head, kind of upper back area.
I think I'd go with the backwards hat sunburn.
Really? Okay.
And the reason I say that is because, well, maybe not, though. Because if you tan and you have lines, you could always retan.
Yeah, that's true. The other aspect of it is you put clothes on to cover all that stuff up anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, sunburns hurt. Okay, you can...
That's
ow!
Really, yeah,
ow!
I know, right?
I'll go suntan.
Yeah, that's kind of my mentality. It's like, I'd way rather have a tan than sunburn. But what about you? Are you going with that?
No, I'll change my mind. I'd rather have a tan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't get sunburned. I can count on my two
hands.
Well,
aren't you the lucky guy?
I can count my two hands the amount of times I've been sunburned my entire life.
What?
Like, even just a little bit?
How is that possible? You're like pale.
I'm sunburned
okay,
right
I'm
now.
Okay, I'm more pale than you, for sure. But you're pale like me. You're pale
yeah, I can
like
count
me.
On probably both hands. Yeah.
I tan nicely, but I don't. I hate to wear suntan lotion, as terrible as that is.
Suntan lotion or sunscreen?
I don't know. I don't really know the difference.
Because they're two different things.
Sunscreen, I guess. But, I mean, I'll wear it on my face, but that's about it. And I hate doing that even.
Yeah.
So I tend to burn pretty easily, but it doesn't usually affect me that badly.
Now,
I tan really well. Like, it turns into a tan really well. Like,
yeah.
If you were to look at my arms now.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're dark for sure compared to me.
This is my driving arm, though.
Yeah. Compared to me, you're definitely dark. Mm-hmm. I'm very white right now. Not that that's a bad thing.
It's coming.
He just doesn't want to be red. So,
okay, let's do a couple more here. Catch the game-winning ball with your face, or trip on a sprinkler during a breakaway.
How do you catch the game-winning ball with your face? Like in your mouth?
I guess.
Or just like...
It bounces off your face and into your glove, maybe?
Oh,
see,
okay.
I've taken a ball to the face, and it's not fun.
It is no picnic, yeah.
I will trip on that sprinkler gladly.
Yeah, me
on
too.
The breakaway.
I'm with you, actually.
As you guys know, I've taken a ball to many places on my body. I'll go with
the
sprinkler.
One of the reasons why I stopped playing softball with you, Brando, is because I took a ball to the shin, and it killed me. I literally couldn't walk for a day and a half.
I've taken it in a couple worse spots.
I don't like it.
You've taken it on a head, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's try this one. Dive into shallow water like a superhero and belly flop, or fall off a paddleboard trying to strike a yoga pose.
Oh, yeah. I'm falling off the paddleboard.
I just am imagining Brandon doing the yoga pose. That'd be so fun.
Yeah. Could you imagine me belly flopping? That would hurt so bad.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at paddleboarding, so I would gladly belly flop.
I'm terrible at both.
Doing my Superman pose.
The problem is the belly flop was supposed to be a dive.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, like in the TV show that I used to host, I probably have tried doing the paddleboarding thing with a yoga pose. Most likely somebody tried to tell me to do it, and I most likely failed as well. So I've done it already. Okay, one last one. We are looking at show up to the barbecue in full baseball uniform or wear a Speedo to lawn bowling. And again, before you make a decision, just remember, it's the dead of summer. It's like 40 degrees outside.
Yeah, I'd want to embarrass my lawn bowling group with the Speedo for sure.
Me too.
I'm not going with the Speedo because it would turn into a banana hammock real quick if I tried to put on a Speedo.
Oh, man. I'd try not to imagine that, but I just...
Very nice!
He's got great a banana success. Hammock!
All right. One last one. Win the game and lose your voice, or lose the game but gain a killer tan.
Oh, I'm winning the game and losing my voice all day long.
That's kind of an easy one, actually. I don't want to finish on an easy one, but that one was kind of
I used to do it all the time when I bowled competitively. Seriously, you'd go over to tournaments on the mainland for the weekend, and you would not have a voice by the second day.
I believe it.
Well, and if you've won a game and you haven't lost your voice because you're screaming mad that you won the game...
I've lost a game and lost my voice. Oh, yeah.
I've watched a game on TV and lost my voice.
It's crazy. But, all right, this is really the final one because it's a good one. Get dunked on by a 10-year-old or be out sprinted by a grandma in pickleball.
Oh, I'm getting dunked on. Totally. I'm only 5'4".
By a 10-year-old, though. 10-year-old's got to be around.
There's some big 10-year-olds.
I don't think I was 5'4 till I was maybe I was 10, actually.
Considering, like, I work in healthcare, considering how fit some of these old people are, I'm perfectly fine with being out-sprinted.
I am, too. I was just going to say, like, I would be blown away, and that's the cool thing. Like, I'd be like, wow, good on you, Grandma. Nice. Like, out-sprinted, that'd be sweet to see. That's this or that, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That's always a fun
I like
one.
The different dynamic between
I know. Yeah, it's cool that you guys chose different things all the time. But gentlemen, that's pretty much the end of the show. Before we wrap things up, is there anything you'd like to discuss before we move on?
I don't think so. I think thank everybody again for joining us, as per usual. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Life is good. I'll dedicate this podcast to my new wife.
Yes, congratulations, Paul. We never did say congratulations to you. You've been married a while now, and we never said congratulations. So congratulations to you and your beautiful bride. Hey, you guys have big plans for the future coming up? Big honeymoon, maybe? Or
That's something we planned. We got stuff for the summer that's going to be happening. And obviously making plans for the future in regards to we're bringing her daughter here from overseas. Obviously looking at homes and jobs and stuff like that and how we can change that going forward.
Good for you. That's awesome, man.
Excellent.
Well, congratulations one more time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for watching the show. If you guys have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to discuss, make sure you reach out to us at our social media. We are at The Puck and Pod. Once again, at The Puck and Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're also on YouTube, and of course, you can find us anywhere you can find your podcasts, your favorite podcasts. Hopefully, we are one of them. So make sure you reach out to us and let us know what you guys think of the show or if you want us to discuss anything in the future. We're definitely available and ready to do that. So once again, for The Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I am Ayn Rand.
Are you? Are you really?
Not cool anymore.
I'm Paul. Fine.
We'll see you guys in the next one.